thank you, Bante. I think I have taken a screenshot of that, the co-foundation, and shared with the entire group as well.
Okay, good.
You also mentioned that this was came on Dhatu Vibhanga Sutra. I remember that vividly, and today I sort of understood the four foundation in that details. I think I had to re-listen to this as well. So thank you so much for bringing this up.
Yeah.
So I'll get this first for Nilamani. So can you unmute and
with great respect, Swamansa.
Yeah.
I mean, if my remembrance is correct, in a sutta I have heard when Sariputta Mahathero was contemplating about characteristics of a stream winner, Lord Buddha, tells him that to add mental proliferation, a stream winner will not have a mental proliferation. I want to see whether how it fits here, with this sutta. So I myself, with great respect.
Yeah, thanks for pointing out. Actually, it is not Venerable Sariputta, it's the Venerable Aniruddha. So one occasion, Venerable Aniruddha was dwelling in, actually before his enlightenment, he was dwelling in a sort of, in a forest dwelling. And so let me show that immediately. I don't know whether I can quickly find it out. So that also another area that Buddha particularly highlighted, the Nipapancha. Numerical 8. Give me a second. Okay, let me share the screen. So this is the in the Anguttara Nikaya, Attaka Nipata. So it's called that the Aniruddha Sutta. So Buddha was dwelling in Sunsumaragiri in the deer park of Besakala Grove. At that time, Venerable Aniruddha was in seclusion, and he was thinking certain statements. So I mean, later it was introduced as Mahapurusa Vitakka. The Dhamma is for one with few desires. This Dhamma is for one who is content. This Dhamma is for one who resorts to solitude. And this Dhamma is for one who is energetic. This Dhamma is for one with mindfulness established. This Dhamma is for one who is concentrated. And this Dhamma is one for who is wise. And these are all really true statements, and all are very, very correct. And Venerable Aniruddha was thinking about it. Actually, this is in a way related to the Dhamma, in a way. You can see those are related to the practice, related to the Dhamma. Now, when we are able to abandon unwholesome thoughts, probably I have already discussed this with you. So the unwholesome thoughts we can categorize. Say, we may go through certain Kama Vitakka, Vyapada Vitakka, Vihinsa Vitakka. Of course, they are easy to understand, and they are the gross side of unwholesome thoughts. Say, yogi is capable of abandoning them. So he is abandoning those unwholesome thoughts. Later, Buddha explained, okay, once you are able to abandon these unwholesome gross type of thinking, you may encounter certain subtle unwholesome thoughts. It may be related to your friends and relatives, Jnati Vitakka. It may be related to the region where you are living, the Janapada Vitakka. It may be about fame and gain, the Labhasakkara Patisangyutta Vitakka. It may be about helping another person, Paranuddeyata Vitakka. It may be about your reputation, Anavanyati Patisangyutta Vitakka. So likewise, very subtle forms of defilements are there. Thinking is there. And Buddha mentioned, okay, you got to abandon them as well. No excuse. I mean, while you are meditating, don't encourage them. Don't disturb your meditation with this type of thinking. Okay, you need to abandon these thoughts as well. Interestingly, once you abandon these, Now there's a possibility the Dhamma related thoughts can appear in the mind. Dhamma vitakka vasissanti. They may not completely bewilder the mind, but still it's disturbing the mind. Now that is what has happened to Venerable Anuruddha. So related to Dhamma, so he is having certain thoughts ongoing in the mind. Now that Buddha has pointed it out, and Buddha came through, say, with a psychic body, and there he adds the eighth vitakka. This Dhamma is for one who delights in non-proliferation, who takes delight in non-proliferation, and not for one who delights in proliferation, who takes delight in proliferation. Nippapanchasayang ayam dhammo nayam dhammo papancharamassa papancharatino. So this Dhamma is for the one who is delighted in non-proliferation, not for the one delighted in proliferation. So actually, this is the catalyst actually has happened within Anuruddha, that using this eighth contemplation, he was able to become an arahant. And later he basically praised the Buddha, telling that the one having understood my thoughts, the unsurpassed teacher in the world, came to me by psychic potency in a mind-made body. He taught me more than my thoughts contained. The Buddha delighting in non-proliferation, instructed me in non-proliferation. Having learned his Dhamma, I delighted in his teaching. I have gained the three true knowledges. The Buddha's teaching has been done. So ultimately, when Venerable Anuruddha became an arahant, so he praised the Buddha, particularly highlighting the eighth factor in this Anuruddha Sutta. So thank you, Dr. Neelamani, for pointing it out. And I hope the answer is clear.
Yes, Swaman sir, so much of merit to you, Swaman sir. May you find Nibbana in this life. Taran Sarnai.
Yeah, Taran Sarnai.
Next question goes for Yasalal.
Thank you, Gishan. Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
For touring Australia, and it was good to attend the retreat with you. And it was really appreciating your time, Bhante.
Yeah.
And also it was good to attend the one session at the Bodhiana. That was good to witness that. And thank you again. Bhante, last week actually I could not join. I think the whole website was down. It says there's a fatal error or something like that.
Really?
And I tried from few different devices. Yeah. But this week is okay now.
We conducted the session. Most of them in the session. I don't know what has happened there then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
Bhante, you mentioned in your summary at the start, I think, about the previous sessions, you mentioned about Sankara. I think you probably covered it already before. Bhante, I have heard this term Sankara Upeksha.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just as what it means, like to be when we have the Sankara from body, mind, or when we create those, is it to be aware of it and have upeksha on that? Or Bhante, is there a deeper meaning?
In a way, it has certain deeper meaning. The idea is that we are very much into it when we are talking this Atta Deepa Sutta. So, say for example, you are covering body, say the Kayanupassana, and you gain certain kind of understanding, certain amount of powerful insight. So these bodily formations are arising and passing away. They are impermanent. Now, this understanding helps you to abandon them, to relinquish them, and keep the mind in a very non-grasping state. If you are practicing Vedanupassana, the same thing with respect to the feelings. Now you are not grasping them and trying to keep the mind free from grasping of feelings. Similarly, when you are practicing Chittanupassana, Dhammanupassana, you are trying to do the same thing with the other aggregates. So basically, what does it mean? That you are trying to be very much like having a sankhara upekkha. You are maintaining kind of an equanimity towards all these different formations. Now you are not much interested about them. You don't want to get tangled with them. You don't want to say, okay, this is important, this is beautiful, this is attractive, or this is unattractive, I hate it. Rather, you maintain a very beautiful, distant balance in the mind. You are not trying to grasp, telling it is beautiful or attractive, or you are not going to hate them, telling they are unattractive, I hate them. Rather, the mind has to have kind of equanimity towards all formations. It can be any aggregate. Actually, here the sankhara upekkha particularly means in general to all the formations. Not only the mental formations, but in general to all formations. Maybe bodily formations, verbal formations, mental formations. All related to all aggregates, whatever condition phenomena, the mind has to have such kind of an equanimous approach. No need to grasp and no need to hate. Such kind of a state of mind is what promoted as sankhara upekkha.
Okay, Mandi, that's clear. So is kind of related to satipatthana in that sense with the practice?
Very much like satipatthana, but at a bit advanced level. We are not at the beginning.
Okay.
We are at the beginning. We are very much like trying to investigate them and trying to understand their true nature. But later, when the mind has become fairly getting into some non-grasping state, there you have the insight that I don't want to grasp them, I don't want to say hate them, rather I am trying to be equanimous towards everything, very much like it is not that we are trying to forcefully get that insight, rather one is practicing vipassana, and as a result of the practice, mind slowly has to settle in such kind of a state. Not to grasp, not to hate, and just maintaining that equanimous state.
Okay. Thank you, Bhante. Clear
yeah.
for that.
Okay.
Thanks
yeah.
for that explanation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bhante, when I hear you mentioned like four foundations today, actually, what came to my mind immediately was satipatthana.
Mm.
And
yes,
then
yes.
I saw your diagram is something is different.
Different. Yeah. That's why.
So
I...
that is four fine.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so that means that is an establishment of mindfulness, right? That's the difference.
Actually,
right?
Here in this Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta, the foundation is given in a different way. Now, the four satipatthana in Pali mentioned chattaro satipatthana. That means four establishment of mindfulness. But in the Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta, so there Buddha mentioned, give me a second, the Pali term is chattaro dittana, chattaro dittana, there's some interesting term there, it's called chatu adittana. Kind of four types of, again, kind of establishment. Again, some sort of mental establishment. So you are establishing the wisdom, you are establishing the truth, you are establishing the relinquishment, and you are establishing the peace. So these are different kind of cognitive structures, actually, Buddha is talking when it is into Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta. Actually, it is more advanced. I mean, you can't say it to a beginner in a way. So this is a more advanced state of mind. So you can't start from here, actually. You can start from Panyadittano, but from the beginning. Now, because Satchadittano, Chagadittano, Upasamadittano only happens when one is fairly developed. Because now, actually, we discussed the Attadipa Sutta. In the Attadipa Sutta, again and again highlight this... what we call as the Tadanga Nibbuti. So you have a certain amount of wisdom. As a result of that wisdom, now the mind is in a good balance. So now you are capable of applying this for Adhisthana in the Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta. Not at the beginning. Beginning you are still struggling with distractions and mind get grasping and get into any various kind of too many defilements, and you are still at the beginning stage. You can't talk about these four foundations at that level. But the for Satipatthanas, yes, you can start from the beginning. And four foundations of mindfulness actually has a broader spectrum. But in the Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta, four foundations are to a more developed yogi.
Okay, Bhante. Thank you. Thank you for that explanation.
Yeah.
Thanks again. Much merit, Bhante. Therwan Sarnai.
Yeah, Therwan Sarnai.
Thank you for that question. The next question goes to Moira. You can unmute.
Thank you. Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Firstly, you know, we are still developing our Sakyaditi is still there, so, you know, we are still in the stages. It's very wonderful to hear the more advanced practices. Thank you for explaining it to us. It's very timely. So I realize sometimes, you know, in meditation, certain things happen, but it's in your real life sometimes something happens, and the conditions that have been set up then makes you see the insight in the real world.
Yeah.
So where I am finding is, I noticed that my making, although there was this little bit of, lot of happiness from seeing an insight, then I add to it later, like you say, a few days later, saying, oh, you know, and I take some pride in it. So there's this I making about it. So, and then when I verbalize, my husband even says, oh, you're talking too much about yourself. So, you know, it's not only in the mind, but sometimes it's even verbalized.
Exactly, exactly.
So then you catch yourself.
Yeah.
And then you try to make less, because we're still learning about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm finding is, even if I'm in a peaceful place and I don't have this huge force like I had before to do certain things, my habitual patterns are still very much there.
Mm.
To even if the energy behind is not so strong, and some of these habitual things I think goes back to my other lives.
Mm.
And I'm surprised that I even had these habitual patterns, because I'm starting to see these habitual patterns, how they drive themselves, even if there's no self.
Correct.
They are just continuing.
Exactly.
So how do you, is that recognition itself an understanding, and therefore you're going to turn away from the habit, or do you have to do something more?
No, actually the typical beginner can't even understand it, because it's an ongoing process in the mind, and you again and again you start promoting it. So that is the habit. So that's why the people are more into creating a self, and they like to show off themselves, and they like to promote their self view, and they want to highlight themselves. So this is the typical nature of the whole world, and we want our presence to be known by the others, and we are to be accepted by the others, praised by the others. So this is how we are promoting the Sakkayaditti. But on the other hand, when one is into practice, now, as you correctly pointed out, now you see the error in it. Now you see the falsehood in it. While there is no self, I am trying to promote a self. Still, it is happening time to time, but I am not being yet perfect. But you are not promoting it as before. Time to time, still certain kind of happiness arises when you promote a self, or say the mind wants to reiterate something what you have done, or you even verbalize it. But now you have the insight, aha, now again this old habit is now trying to point out, now coming out. So why should I do it? Why should I want to ignorantly participate in this behavior?
So now you recognize it with wisdom and slowly keeping it aside. So this very training is what ultimately help us to abandon it totally. So that's why Buddha mentioned, in one sense, Panyaya Diswa Diswa Pahatabba. You need to look at it with wisdom again and again, and then relinquish it. And in the Sabbasava Sutta, Janato Bhikkave Pasato Asavanam Kayam Hoti, no Ajanato, no Apasato. When you know, when you see, you have the capacity to abandon these influxes, not by not seeing and not knowing. So you need to know it, you need to notice it, and while after noticing it, after knowing it, you need to abandon it. That's what we can do. So you are not promoting it. And the insights that we gain with our vipassana practice is helpful for us to abandon it. Because without an insight, we may not do it, because we are in the belief that there is a person here, there is an individual here. That was our misunderstanding. But with the wisdom, with the insight practice, now we have certain kind of an understanding. Yes, there is no self here, but still my latent tendencies are trying to promote that self. Now I am not promoting it. Now I am not allowing it. I am not allowing it as before I used to do. Now rather I abandon it.
Could I ask another question?
Yeah.
So in a worldly way, and I don't know how much ego there was, but I was telling some people who are close to me or even Kalyana Mitas about how I played the chanting when my mom was dying.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the people, their mother is dying or is very ill, and they said, what chant did you play? And I was able to give the chant, because I have a video of it. So sometimes, is there something like you're still wanting to help people inside your heart and the circumstances? So sometimes you might be talking about yourself, but it's actually helpful to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, I'm not explaining myself well, but I feel like there is a part of me that wants to help other people, and I'm happy that I talked about it, because that allowed them to say their part. Because a lot of them are traveling to go see their parent who's dying, and I'm saying, please play this band, because it'll help them to have a better experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is something
we
need to look at it in a subtle way. So it is good. I mean, always helping another person may be good. Am I do it in a way to promote a self, or with the real loving kindness, not expecting anything in return, just to show them the path, just to do my duty, and after doing that, wash my hands and no further proliferation? Because sometimes people help another person. I mean, it's not really a bad thing. By helping, you get a kind of self-motivation. And you feel happy, and I did it, and because of me that they are now living comfortably, and I helped them really, and because of me that they are now in a good situation. So likewise, I mean, we can gain certain kind of a wholesome kind of happiness by helping another person. But at the same time, we can use that to promote ourselves. I mean, in an innocent way, not in a bad way. But when we come to the Panyasika, you can recognize it. Even in a wholesome way, I am making a self. Because when you are into the practice, now you are reducing most of your unwholesome activities. You are not into lying, you are not into killing, stealing, sexual misconduct. Now all these unwholesome activities, they also promote the self, but now you have basically abandoned them. What is available is only the wholesome activities, but even the wholesome activities can be used to promote a self. So now we have to be careful. Okay, you do the wholesome activity. It is not that you become completely like a robo and inactive person. You got to do the wholesome activities, but at the same time you need to be careful. Okay, I am doing it as a duty,
when the opportunity is there, but I am not rushing into promote the self, and I'm not going to influence the others in a harsh way. Rather, when they invite me, okay, I'm doing it. And after doing that, I wash my hands, not using it to promote a self. Very difficult in a way, I mean, even though I am telling it. You can see, I mean, there are still some subtle desires in the mind. Even a good opportunity, even what we did properly, in a wholesome way, can be used in a subtle way to have a self-view.
Yeah, it's all mixed in together, so it's very hard.
Yep, exactly.
Thank you so much for your explanations and Dhamma teachings. Very timely. Thank you very much, Bhante.
Okay. Yeah.
Theravan Saran.
Yeah, Theravan Sarnai.
Bhante, I think that's all the questions so
okay.
far.
Yeah.
Unless otherwise somebody else has other questions.
Okay, then we have spent almost 1.5 hours, so then we can wind up the session. So today also we have spent, okay, there is one person, Kanishka Vijayanayaka. Yes, you can unmute.
Thank you for taking good Dhamma Samman for us. Mante, I just want to know about proliferation. Now these days my mind really thinking about my mother and my past, the places that I went in Sri Lanka, those things come into my mind. I'm doing meditation. At that moment, I'm peaceful, and some not all the time, and sometimes I know. So then, Bhante, at that time, what would I do? Need to do? I just want to know, thinking about now when a happy moment comes, since I changed the country, most of the time, and sometimes I'm happy moments. And then at that time, do I need to think about now, according to Satipatthana Sutta, this is kind of a pleasurable thought.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a mere thought like that.
Yeah, that's also a good way. Yeah, that's also a good way of doing it.
Yes,
but on the other hand, you can make use of the mindfulness in the present moment, in the sense that whatever the activity you are doing, try to do it mindfully. Now say you are simply cooking, you are involved with some cooking activity. Say just pay attention to whatever the cooking activity totally, without allowing the mind to wander. You use some sort of a mechanism, like if you are holding a knife or something, okay, how that is being felt. It's a very, very ordinary way. I mean, these are not very, very exciting, extraordinary things. These are extremely ordinary activities. So how you are holding the knife, and how you are feeling it, and are you able to feel its weight to your hand, and what you see in front of you, and how your foot is well established within the ground. And so likewise, you are always establishing mindfulness in the present moment activity, because we can't every time, either in the walking meditation or sitting meditation, we may be involved with so many different activities throughout the day. So during the day, if we are able to time to time ground ourselves by using that particular activity on which that we are engaged with, that also another way of releasing the stress, releasing our unnecessary overthinking or regrets, etc. Because time to time we are coming back to ourselves, concerned about what we do, and establish mindfulness on what we do currently. So I feel that's also another area that we better look into.
Thank you so much, Bhante. It's great.
Yeah.
But I think that's it.
Okay.
That's all
yeah.
the questions.
Yeah. So then we'll wind up the session, and all the merit what we have accumulated, we share with all the celestial beings, all past relatives, and whoever in need of merits. And again, we wish these merits help us also to realize the Buddha's teaching to attain path fruition nibbana. We'll recite the traditional verses. Yattavata cha amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sambe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Yattavata cha amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sambe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya.
එත්තාවතා ච අම්හෙහි සම්බතං පුඤ්ඤ සම්පදං සම්බේ සත්තා අනුමෝදන්තු සබ්බ සම්පත්ති සිද්ධියා ආකාසට්ඨා ච බුම්මට්ටා දේවා නාගා මහින්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු සාසනං ආකාසට්ඨා ච බුම්මට්ටා දේවා නාගා මහින්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු දේශනං ආකාසට්ඨා ච බුම්මට්ටා දේවා නාගා මහින්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු මම් පරං ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හොන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හොන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හොන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා ඉදම්මේ පුඤ්ඤ කම්මං ආසවක්ඛයා වහං හෝතු සබ්බ දුක්ඛා පමුඤ්චතු සාදු සාදු සාදු